Yeah, you can come. It will be like a special class. Come on, Lemlem also. Very good. In the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit, amen. As we said last week, if you still remember, that because the first Sunday of the new Coptic year coincided with the first of Tut, which is the beginning, so the day itself came on Sunday, so we do not read the readings of Sunday. However, we read the readings of first of Tut, the day which is first of Tut, the first Coptic month. And because of that, there is a shifting of 1 week for the rest of the 4 weeks. Of course, you know, because last Sunday was the first, then first of Tut, then tomorrow will be the 8th, and after will be 15th, and after will be 22nd, and the last will be 29th. So there will be 4 weeks in Tut, in the Coptic month. So although tomorrow is the second Sunday of Tut, but the readings will be the first Sunday of Tut. And next week, inshallah, but the second week of the second Sunday, and then the third, and then the fourth. Because the feast of St. John the Baptist is the second of Tut, so the closed Sunday, all the readings are around St. John the Baptist, from the Vespers to the Matins, to the Pauline Epistle, and all the readings till the Gospel. You will find them concentrating on St. John the Baptist. And because you know a lot about St. John the Baptist, I will only comment on verse. The Lord said in the Vespers of tonight, and then we'll move to our main subject. So, in the beginning of this chapter, which it's from the Gospel of St. Matthew, which is written also in St. Luke 7, the same subject, about St. John the Baptist. When some of his disciples came to him asking on behalf of St. John the Baptist, "Are you the Messiah whom we are waiting for? Or we will wait for another prophet or another man." And then he said, "Oh, as you see all the miracles which are performed, and so as not to confuse the people about St. John the Baptist as if he was doubting Jesus Christ, he started to witness and to recommend or to praise St. John the Baptist, saying, "Assuredly, I say to you, among those born of women, there has not risen one greater than John the Baptist." And then after he witnessed to them, he said at the end of the Gospel, "But to what shall I liken this generation? It's like children sitting in the marketplaces and calling to their companions and saying, We played the flute for you and you did not dance. We mourned to you and you did not lament. For John came neither eating nor drinking, and they say he has a demon. And the Son of Man came eating and drinking, and they say, look, a glutton and a wine bibber, a friend of tax collectors and sinners. But wisdom is justified by her children. I will comment on that and enter the principle subject which I want to speak with you. Our Lord here says, St. John the Baptist was an ascetic man, a man of wilderness, lived 30 years in wilderness. He was very ascetic, and you refused him. And the Son of Man, calling about himself, speaking about himself, came to eat and drink, and you also refused him. So the problem is not in the preacher. The problem is not in the prophet. The problem is not in the servant of God. Actually, the problem is in me. Whether I will accept the word of God through him, or I reject the word of God, the word of God through him. Yesterday, in the Gospel of the Liturgy, the Lord set 13 walls on the Pharisees and scribes and the Sadducees, who were hypocrites. And he said to them, if we were in the days of our forefathers, we would have never killed any of them, but you still killing them. How do I kill the prophet? How do I kill to myself? How do I kill the servant of God? In your opinion, how do I kill him? Do we kill the prophets of God? Do we kill sometimes the servants of God or not? How? If yes, how? If not, how? Do you know the answer? The Word of God, inspired by the Holy Spirit to any of the prophets, if I reject the words of the prophets, I kill his effect in my life. I reject him. Yes, at the end I am the loser. I don't kill him physically. But when I reject the word of God through these prophets in the Old Testament, all the apostles and the disciples in the New Testament, or till now any servant of God, priest or Sunday school servant or bishop or patriarch, whatever his order is, then as if I'm killing him, as if I am, yani, to myself, killing him here does not mean I take a weapon and kill him physically. But killing him means that I don't benefit from his words. I don't benefit from his prophets. I don't benefit from his teaching. I don't benefit from the prophecies that he said through the Holy Spirit. And this is the first point. The second point, there are prophets who are famous of being very strong, a little bit harsh. In the Old Testament, the most famous prophet who was very strong. Who was? Mean. The most strong and Do you know? In the Old Testament. Moses. Huh? Moses. Elijah? Moses. Who said Elijah? Who said Elijah? It's the right answer. Elijah was, his title is the fiery prophet. Al-Nabi Al-Nari. The fiery prophet. He was very strong. In front of Ahab, he was strong. In front of the wife of Ahab, Isabel, he was very strong and very stiff. In front of the priests of the Baal, he was strong. In front of the Jews, he was very strong. Who was in the New Testament or the end of the Old Testament with the spirit of Elijah? St. John the Baptist. He had the same lion of strong preaching. He was very firm with the people, but some of them accepted and went to him, baptizing in the Jordan River, repenting. But unfortunately, also the scribes and chief priests and the Sadducees and the lawyers of the New Testament, of the Jews in the Old Testament, refused him. So these two examples of a strong prophecy. Guys, give me an example of a soft prophet, whose heart was very soft, very kind, very patient in the Old Testament. Huh? Jeremiah. Who else? Moses. Moses. Moses was very kind. بيقول أما الرجل موسى فكان حليما جدا. He was very gentle, Moses. And again, they refused him. Neither they accepted Elijah or before him Moses the prophet. It's the same as the Lord said today. The same. They refused St. John the Baptist and they refused our Lord Jesus Christ, the King of Peace, and the very kind and gentle, perfect servant. Tomorrow we celebrate the feast of Moses, the prophet, the most famous prophet entirely in the Old Testament. And because of his great service, I will summarize his life quickly to you, spotting on some points in his life to take يعني in few minutes, يعني until 8:15 ولا حاجة, 20 minutes, summary of Moses the prophet and his life. And tomorrow we have the feast of Moses and Zacharias the prophet. But today I'll speak about Moses. Moses was born in a very critical time in the history of the Jews. How? You know, from the days of Joseph, who saved Egypt and saved the whole world around Egypt from the famine, and he became the second of Pharaoh, he brought his family, his father and brothers, 70 persons. 70 persons. From the days of, and they lived in Egypt permanently, and they left the Judea. From the days of Joseph to the days of Moses, they became around 2 million. From 70 persons, They integrated. But at the time, Pharaoh of the time of Moses started to persecute the Jews. When he saw that they were growing and growing and growing, he was afraid on his throne and the position of the Egyptians. So he started to enslave the Jews. And he wanted to prevent the growth or stop the growth of the Jews. So he asked the Samum, stepwife for the sick.
Midwife.
He ordered the two midwives who used to help the mothers in the delivery of babes, saying, if any mother delivers the boy, kill him immediately. They were afraid to do that. They couldn't do that. And they said to him, the Hebrew women are very strong. They deliver the babies even before we arrive. So he did not find any solution except to kill all the boys, Hebrew boys. And he ordered his soldier to spread in the land, taking every infant boy, Hebrew, to kill him on the hills and the mountains. At that time, Moses was born. And his mother was very afraid, and she didn't know what to do. She decided to put him in a basket and to put him in the river Nile and leave him in the hands of the Lord, because she couldn't heed him. She couldn't. The Pantocrator, the Almighty God, led the daughter of the Pharaoh, who was barren and didn't have children, to sew the babe in the basket. And she took him and she adopted him. And she gave him the name of Moses. Moses means pulled out the water, or taken from the water. Al-Muntashal min al-Ma. This is the meaning of Moses. Al-Muntashal min al-Ma. Taken from the water. And instead of killing Moses, the Lord prepared the savior of the Hebrews in the palace of the Pharaoh, who killed hundreds of thousands. It was said that he killed 144,000 children, infants, and babes at that time. But the only one that the Lord chose to prepare him to be the savior of the Hebrews was grown up in the palace of the Pharaoh. And he could have been the heir of the Pharaoh. Could have been, and he could have become the Pharaoh himself. Because they didn't know that he was initially Hebrew. The daughter of the Pharaoh didn't know. This is lesson laughter one. Number one. Lesson number one. If the Lord wants to save you, he can save you among hundreds of thousands. Don't worry. Don't worry. If he wants to heal me from my sickness among thousands of people, he can do that according to his will. If it is good for me. If not, I am the servant of God. If I have this faith, I will never fall in trouble, because I will believe, or I will be sure that the Almighty God, who loves me very much, will take care of me. And if he wants to save me, he can save me. If not, and this was the faith of many of the people in the Old Testament and many of the martyrs in the New Testament. For example, the three young men in the fiery furnace, they refused to worship the idol of the Nebuchadnezzar. And they said to him, "If the Lord, we know that our God, the Lord, will save us. But even if he does not save us, we will not worship your idols." So either he saves or doesn't save. Lesson number one. Depend and rely on the Lord, and be sure that his hands will take care of you. This is the number. After 40 years, the Lord wanted to start, of course, there is a side story, but it is very important. His elder daughter, after she put him in the water, she hid behind the tree, watching what happens. And when the daughter of the Pharaoh took the basket, taban, through the maidservants, she was saying, "Who will nourish him? Who will take care of him? It's very, 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 few days." And then she appeared from behind the tree and said to the daughter of Pharaoh, I know a woman who will take care of him. She can nourish him, give him milk, and give him head until he becomes 5-6 years, and we can bring him." During these 5-6 years, the mother taught him that he was Hebrew. And he was saved through the hand of the Lord. And she was growing him, giving him milk and feeding him and taking care of him. At the end of the period, she brought him back to the palace. Lesson number two. If you take care of your child in his very early age, be sure that whatever you plant in his heart, whatever you teach him, will remain with him all his life. If you are lazy to teach him in his childhood, very difficult to wait from him fruits, spiritual fruits in his life. That's why, although Moses lived in the palace 40 years, but in his heart from inside, he knew that he's Hebrew, not Egyptian. And when he saw the miserable life of the Jews, his heart moved, and he wanted to save his people. One day he found a Hebrew and Egyptian, two men were fighting to each other. Taban, during the 40 years, he learned everything to be a very good soldier in the army of the Egyptians. They taught him everything. He was a man of war. He trained. When he found that the Egyptian and the Hebrew were fighting, he killed the Egyptian, because he knew that he was Hebrew, and he saved it. Next day, he found two Hebrews fighting. He tried to make peace between them. So the guilty man said to them, to Moses, "Oh, do you want to kill me as you killed the Egyptian yesterday?" And then he was sure that what happened yesterday uncovered and reached Pharaoh. To make it short, he escaped from Egypt. Went to the wilderness without anything. There the Lord appeared to him and he saved 7 daughters going to the well to have water. And against the shepherds, he saved them and let them have the water quickly, and went to their father, who was an idol priest, Yethron. His name was Yethron. And then their father said, "How come that you came this early?" They said, "There is a man, strange man, saved us from the shepherds who wanted to finish their work before us, and he gave us everything we need. He filled the water." And he said, where is the man? "Go and call the man." They called the man. In one word, he married the eldest daughter of Yethron, the priest. He was working there 40 years, another 40 years. Lesson number 3. If you want to serve the Lord, don't serve the Lord through your hands or your wisdom or your knowledge or your experience. Serve the Lord through the Holy Spirit who guides you. Serve the Lord through the word of the Lord in the Bible, through the teaching that you have. Not relying and depending on your power and wisdom and the ability to preach and to convince the people and let them weep and let them repent by your hands and good preaching. No, don't rely on your hand. When Moses tried to depend on his hand, he failed. And he paid the price another 40 years. He lived another 40 years in the wilderness until the Lord appeared to him saying, "By my hand you will save them." When he appeared to him in the fiery bush, when he was 80 years old. And the fiery bush was, as you know, a sign or a symbol of the incarnation of our Lord, because he saw a tree and the fire in the tree, which is the divinity. And the Lord said to him, "Take off your shoes. The place is sacred, it's holy." And he sent him to save the children of Israel. After he tried to escape once, twice, thrice, the Lord said, "You will go, you will go. Not according to your word, not according to your will, not according to your power, but according to my word. I will be with you." And this is what happened. Moses saved the children of Israel, and the Lord helped him to beat and to punish the Egyptians 10 times, starting of changing the water of the River Nile into blood, because the people used to worship also the River Nile. So the Lord wanted to show them that this River Nile can never be God. And all the 10 punishments, which ended by the first born of every Egyptian family in the whole land, and then the Lord, the Pharaoh asked them to leave the land and go to the Sinai, wilderness of Sinai. They went to the wilderness of Sinai. Taman, of course, at the time, Moses, Mary the prophetess, his elder sister, and Aaron, who became the chief priest. He was younger than Moses. But all of them were honored And in the eyes of the children of Israel, they were very great. So when he decided to save on his hand, he couldn't save even one Hebrew. But when the Lord sent him, he saved all the people who were about 2 million, with their cattle, with their possessions, with the gold they took from the Egyptians, and not only that, but he opened the Red Sea before in their way to let them cross from Egypt to the promised land, which is Israel now. So they crossed the Red Sea, and after crossing the Red Sea, Mary, the prophetess, and the women, led by Moses, the prophet, praised the Lord in what we call first canticle, first hus, al-hus al-awwal, which was a symbol of the baptism. And this is written in the book of Exodus, chapter 15, in remembrance of this miracle, saying that the first step with God is the baptism. And the first step of getting freedom from slavery of this world is to be baptized. When we were baptized, we were transferred from being slaves to being children of God. Free, not slaves. And this is what happened with the Jews at the time, led by Moses the prophet. He lived another 40 years leading the children of Israel in the land of Sinai. And the trip could have taken between 7 and 10 days, but the Lord led them wandering in the wilderness of Sinai for 38 years, about 40 years, to teach them. When they became thirst, he gave them the water from the rock, which was symbolizing the Holy Spirit from the rock, our Lord Jesus Christ, the rock of our faith. When they were hungry, he gave them the manna from heaven, which was symbolizing the body of our Lord Jesus Christ. And read John 6, you will know that. And during the 40 years, all their clothes were the same, like new clothes, 40 years. He saved them. There was no wars during these 40 years. However, unfortunately, the wicked people also raised against Moses. One day they said, "Oh, you make yourselves a prophet and your brother priest. Now we can bring censers, and also we can offer the incense before the Lord." They brought 300 censers and started. And then Moses prayed to the Lord, and the Lord opened the earth and took them with their families and everything, Korah and Dathan. I'm making spots on that. So we are now spiritually exactly, but not in the symbol, but in fact, in the wilderness of Sinai. How we crossed the sea, we were baptized, we have the rock, our Lord Jesus Christ, but not from the rock real, but from the right side of his body. Water and blood came out, which is the Holy Spirit. We live. And we have also the body and the blood of our Lord Jesus Christ on the altar. And he saves us from everything. So as if we are in the wilderness now, not yet reaching the promised land. Yes, we started the kingdom of heaven, although we are in the body. But we started the kingdom of heavens, and the Lord said, oh, don't you know that the kingdom of heaven is within you? It's inside you. But also, we still have our desire. We still have our freedom. That's why sometimes we lean to the darkness a little bit, partially. But when we recognize, we repent and come back. Great! The person who considers or takes care that he is wrong and corrects himself, in the eyes of the Lord is much more, many of those who think of themselves that they are righteous people, not sinners. Very good. So, Moses led the people of Israel, and almost at the end of his life, the Lord wanted to honor him. He asked him to fast 40 days and 40 nights and to go up the Mount of Sinai to receive the 10 commandments written on 2 tablets. And he did. And he saw the Lord. He saw the Lord, but not face by face. Because one day he said, I want to see you. He said, no one can see me and live. Then he hid him in a part of the mountain and put his hand, covered his hand, and passed. From this second, could be less than second. If you say there is a less than second, yes, you know this Egyptian scientists who divided the second into 100. You know his name? He died already last month. Yeah, he took Nobel Prize because he divided the second into 100 parts. So, his face was shining. And no one could look to his face. So they put veil on his face. Whenever the people wanted to see him.
Oh.
And they see God in my life. Where is my face? I'm not expecting to have a shiny face, but at least to have the face of God. At least to have the face that speaking about this peace of God and the purity of God. And the perfection of God. To have this face. God lives in me. If I have a simple eyes, a simple senses, a peaceful smile for everyone, so the people will see the image of God in me. And Moses, during the days of Moses, they couldn't see him. They couldn't look at his face. He used only to uncover his face when he went to the altar to be before the Lord. The Lord also showed him the tabernacle, a maquette of the tabernacle. And he chose 2 engineers, expert engineers, to build the tabernacle. In the meeting of Fridays, the Bible, they reached Exodus 25, 26, which is the description of the tabernacle. If you want to attend, inshallah, next Sunday, they will resume that with the picture of the tabernacle and all the position. Anyhow, the Lord asked him to build the tabernacle. Why? He was the first one that the Lord asked him to build the tabernacle. Why? Do you know why? Because he offered the lamb, the Passover lamb. And any church must be built on the Passover lamb. There is no if any church is not built, is not offering, presenting the lamb of the Passover, which resembles the body of God, in our eyes, it will be considered a spiritual meeting in a hall. Just a spiritual meeting in a hall. But if you have the holy body and the precious blood, then this is the house of God. And the first official house of God was the tabernacle. Was built during the days of Moses. But the tabernacle, because they used to go from the Red Sea to the Promised Land during these almost 40 years, and they were walking in a shape of a cross. Another time, inshallah, another chance, I will give you a picture about each tribe of the 12 tribes. They were walking in the shape of cross. In the middle was the tabernacle. And the tabernacle wasn't fixed on the ground, but they used to fix it and remove it, fold it, and go their way, and then rebuild it again, and until the Lord came. When the Lord came, we have now the fixed place, the fixed house of God. At the end of the days, there are many other details, like he went to the Mount of Sinai one day and he took the Ten Commandments in two tablets. The first one, 6 commandments, and the second one, 4 commandments. When he came down after 40 days with the Lord, he found the children of Israel built statues and danced around it and said, "This is the gods that save you from the slavery of Egypt." He was enraged. And he broke the Ten Commandments, because this very kind man could not bear the blasphemy of these people who denied the word of the Lord who saved them and took care of them during all these years. And he broke the tablets, and the Lord did not blame him, because it was not out of anger, it was out of zeal. He was zealous in the word of God and the power of God. So after he punished them and destroyed the statue, the Lord called him again and said, "Come again and take another 2 tablets instead of the ones that you broke." So Moses fasted 2 times, every time 40 days. Abstinence. No food, no drink, nothing during the 40 days. So at the end of his life, because of the great miracles and the great work and the great leadership, the Lord has decided to take him. I had the pleasure a few years ago in 2011 to visit the Jordan, the only time I visited the Jordan. We went to the place, traditionally they said that in this place the Lord took Moses and hid him somewhere. He died, but the Lord hid his body. Why? Because he was afraid that children of Israel might have worshipped him because of the great miracles. He was a great man, led the children of Israel for 40 years, was very patient to them, and was بيسموه كليم الله, talker to the Lord. He spoke with him more than 5,670 words, like the man who speaks to a man. This was a summary of the life of Moses, the great prophet, whom the Lord continued and perfected his law and called the law after his name. Although it was the Lord of God, but the Lord himself, Jesus Christ, called the Ten Commandments the law of Moses. And he said to them, Moses told you, in the law of Moses there was, but I say, he perfected, he did not stop, but he perfected the law of Moses in the New Testament. We honor Moses the prophet very much. And I was saying in the morning, don't think that anyone, no, yesterday morning in our meditation, St. John Gospel, I said, the church insists to study very well, deeply, the Old Testament. Because without the Old Testament, you will not understand the New Testament. The Lord is hidden in the Old Testament, manifested in the New Testament. May the prayers of Moses the prophet and Zacharias the prophets be with us, and glory be to God forever. Amen. Do you have any question? Very difficult to summarize a life of 120 years with the greatest prophet in the Old Testament in few minutes, but at least it's I open the subject for you to read and to study and to launch to the depth with the life of Moses, to know how to benefit of him and understand how did the Lord use him to be a very useful tool, appointing, directing us to the incarnation of the salvation that the Lord performed for us. Glory be to God forever. Do you have any question? Thank you for listening. Let us pray.